for the teens as we spent some time in England with David and Annalisa Wilson. Clive and Job as well were there, and with tons of energy, and it was a sweet time together. And they are they're doing a great work for the sake of the gospel in England. And great friends of ours and partners in the gospel, representing Christ, representing us in England. And they are finishing up their 3-year kind of internship ministry that they have at a church. And they're working towards another church that is interested in hiring them as their lead pastor. And so if you would pray for them, we would greatly appreciate that. And they would greatly appreciate that. And they've had significant ministry in the church that they're at right now. And they're realizing that more and more when people are saying, we don't want you to leave and go to this church. And but it's been sweet to see the investment that we make here pushes them to pursue Christ and to proclaim the gospel to their neighbors. So when we give, when we pray, we are accomplishing the mission of reaching our neighbors and reaching the nations. So what a privilege it is for that and for us to be a part of that. This past week, our teens went to camp, and I was unable to go this year because we have a little baby on the way. And so thank you for praying for them and praying for Abby especially. The baby's due this coming Saturday. So I may have to run out real quick. If that happens, just read your Bibles. Pray. All right. No. So I'm looking forward to opening the Word of God with you this morning, Philippians chapter 3. This evening we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4 and talk about some things there. Talk about contentment. Talking about where to set our minds. You have that passage in Philippians chapter 4 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We'll talk about that. So I'm looking forward to discussing that text tonight as well. But Philippians chapter 3, I have two points this morning, as opposed to the traditional 3 points, just two this morning. Point number one, press on. Press on. Pursue Christ. Press on. Point number two, find someone to imitate, or be someone to imitate. So let's read the text together. Philippians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I often have told you and now tell you even with tears, many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Point number one, press on. Press on in your pursuit of Christ. Press on. Have you ever pushed yourself really hard in something? Like, to accomplish a goal, you pushed yourself so hard. You pushed your body so hard. Maybe you stayed up all night writing a paper, perfecting it. Maybe you stayed on the basketball court shooting over and over and over, perfecting your shot. Maybe you put in hours and hours of practice time practicing music. My mom's a music teacher, so she'll appreciate that, piano teacher, because you want to perfect that piece of music. And it's really kind of fun to you. You really kind of enjoy it. You push yourself hard, and it hurts really bad, and afterwards you're like, why was that kind of fun? A few of us are going to be going on a hike in a month and a half or so, and the way it has been explained to me is on the scale of, yes, I can do this, and this is going to kill me, we want to take it about right here and just back it off just a little bit, okay? So we're going to push ourselves really hard, and Lord willing, we'll make it out of the woods together. So we enjoy it. That's going to be kind of, I'm really looking forward to this kind of thing, pushing ourselves. It's one thing I learned playing sports growing up. In sports, I can really push my body hard. Like when my coach just makes me run and run and run. I got an opportunity to coach basketball a little bit this past few years, and that was fun for me to let them run and run. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, guys. Sorry. And it hurts, but it doesn't matter, right? I have a goal, and so I press on. I push hard, even when my body is telling me to stop. My body has creative ways to tell me to stop. So, press on, press on. Now, in these, there's two sentences here. Look with me again in verse 12 through verse 14. Notice the two sentences. I want you to see how they're related. Paul is basically saying the same thing twice, which is really helpful because the first sentence is a little bit difficult to understand without the second sentence. So it's really helpful. But he's also repeating it. When Paul repeats things, when the Bible repeats things, there's repetition in the Scriptures, we focus in, like, this is important. So look with me on verse 12. See if you can see the two verses, the two sentences and the similarities that they have. Not that I've already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So you see the similarities in those two sentences. There's a main verb, I press on. I press on. Then you have a bit of a disclaimer. Not that I've already arrived. Not that I am perfect. Not that I got it all figured out. The second thing that's similar in those two sentences. And then you have, the third thing is the goal which he's pressing toward. It's a little vague in the first sentence and then more specific in the second sentence. And then the fourth thing is you have this kind of divine passive, is what one author says. He says, I'm pressing on and God has already accomplished it. It's done. God's already accomplished the goal. So it's not like Paul and God are pressing on together. No, Paul is pressing on even though God has already accomplished the goal. What's the goal? Good question. The prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, verse 14. Now let's back up a bit because it kind of came into the middle of this this chapter. And I think this will make a little bit more sense. So this goal has already been accomplished by God in Christ Jesus, but Paul presses on. The goal is to be with Christ, to fully know Christ, right? This was the point of the previous paragraph. Look with me. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brothers, we're halfway through the book and he's saying finally. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me. In other words, he's written this before. It's no trouble for him to write it again and is actually safe for you. Verse 2, look out for the dogs. Not puppy dogs, okay? Don't think puppy dogs that you can pet on your lap. Think more like rats. I like dogs and rats. It's okay. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evil doers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Though I myself I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, check me out, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Look at all these spiritual accomplishments in my life. Right? Mission trips, seminary classes, attending church regularly, reading theology books, doing Bible reading plans, helping in Awana or nursery or ushering or in choir, formal church ministry, being actively involved in my ABS class. Look at all these things I've accomplished. Check me out. Look at my family heritage. Look at my family heritage, my parents, believers. Maybe some of us point to that. Families are believers. I have a strong family heritage in my past. Paul says if anyone has reason to boast in these things, it's the Apostle Paul. It's the Apostle Paul, circumcised on the eighth day. Of the people of Israel. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Hebrew of Hebrews. But what does Paul say about these things? I mean, he's got so much zeal, he persecuted the church. He's got so much good works, he can be seen as blameless, according to the law. What does Paul say about these things? Look at verse 7. Whatever I had, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss. For the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Do you want to know Christ? You want to know Christ above all things? Don't look to the things that you have accomplished. Don't look to the way you were brought up. Don't look to our family heritage. Look to Christ. Place your faith in Christ. Those other things, when compared to Christ, what does he say? Garbage. Trash. Or as the English, rubbish, says here. We need righteousness. We need righteousness. And if we look to ourselves for this, we'll realize that we fall short every single time. Romans 3:23. So, how do we get the righteousness of Christ? How do we get the righteousness of Christ? Well, look with me at verse 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. Believe. Faith. Believe in him. Place your trust in him as our Savior, as our Lord, as our Master. We put our faith and belief in him and we get the righteousness of Christ. So Paul's saying here, look, I haven't arrived at fully knowing Christ. I know him, but I want to know him more and more. I'm pressing on. I'm pushing myself hard because I want to know Christ more than anything else. And the great thing about this pursuit, the great thing about this pressing on is that I'm running a race towards a goal that is sure. I will know Christ fully one day. We will know Christ fully one day, and that's been accomplished. The goal has been and will be accomplished. So it's not a begrudging work that Paul is in, right? It's not, man, I have to do all this work, really? Like all this stuff I have to do now? Push myself like this? Like a slave who's working for an evil master? No, it's not that at all. Remember verse 8? Do you remember verse 8? Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Do we get that? Do we recognize the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord? He recognizes that this is the greatest work of all. It really does bring the most joy in life. That's why he can say in chapter 1, verse 4, he's praying with joy. That's why he can say in chapter 1, verse 18, I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Look with me in chapter 1 and start with in verse 21. That's why Paul can say things like this. Look at verse 21 with me. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul can say things like that because he gets it. He sees the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's why in chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, even if he dies, he says, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. He's persecuted. If he dies, he can say that. And then chapter 3, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. That's why he can say in the last section, I count all, in this last section we just read, I count all things as loss. They're rubbish, they're trash, it's garbage to me compared to knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He can totally forget what lies behind. Maybe you've messed up in your past. Forget it. You've had great accomplishments in your past. Forget it. These things are nothing compared to Christ. If we've messed up in our past, we can get His righteousness and stand before our great God. If we've had great accomplishments in our lives, don't rest on those things. Don't put any confidence in those accomplishments. Christ has accomplished all that we need. The Apostle Paul had all the reason for confidence by pedigree and by his enthusiastic morality. Verses 5 and 6. This is not going to cut it. Our own righteousness is not going to cut it. We fall short every time. So is this how we see things? Knowing Christ is the ultimate goal of my life. Is that how we see things? Knowing Jesus is the ultimate goal of my life, of my day, of my week, of my summer. Sports is not your ultimate goal. Making friends is not your ultimate goal. Doing well in school is not our ultimate goal. Playing an instrument is not our ultimate goal. Being cool is not our ultimate goal. Being involved in ministry in the church is not our ultimate goal. These are all good things, but they are not the ultimate thing. Do we see this in our lives? Are we pursuing Christ? Are we pressing on toward knowing Christ? So pursue Christ, because He has pursued you. Look at verse 12. Not that I've already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Pursue Him because He has pursued you. And He really shouldn't have. He pursued His enemy. We pursue a gracious and loving Master, Lord God. The Apostle Paul, he was persecutor of the church. You see that in verse 6. Persecuting the church. Yet Christ stepped in. What's in your past? You've done wrong. Christ stands ready to forgive. Can't wait to forgive. 70 times 7, over and over and over. Pursue Christ, press on, go hard after Christ, submit to his authority, repent of sin, ask for forgiveness. He is ready. So press on. Press on. It's worth it. If we're mature, we'll think this way. I like how he calls us out there. If we're mature, we'll think this way. If we're immature, we won't think this way. Look at verse 15. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Help from God. God needs to reveal this to me constantly. He needs to reveal my immaturity on this constantly. When I pursue things here as if they will offer me ultimate joy, it's immature. We're trying to get joy out of something that doesn't produce it. I use the illustration with the teens occasionally. It's like trying to get ice cream out of a pop machine, or soda machine, if you will. Trying to get ice cream out of a soda machine, right? I mean, it might even say ice cream all over the soda machine. Like, it's going to produce, but what's behind the scenes there? It doesn't produce ice cream. You got your ice cream cone, you're trying to get ice cream, and you get pop, Coke, whatever, all over yourself, you know? It doesn't produce. What's one of the most common things? Think with me. What's one of the most common things you hear, the common responses from athletes after they win a great championship? After they win a great championship and they're sitting in the locker room and they got the microphone stuck in their face and they're asked, how you feeling right now? And one of the most common responses is, I don't know, it just really hasn't sunk in yet. Just really hasn't sunk in. Well, I got good news for you. It's not going to sink in. It's not going to stink. It's not going to be your ultimate joy. It can't be. You think an accomplishment like that would bring you ultimate joy, but I could show you example after example after example where it does not. One thing my Bible teacher would say to us, and when we were in seventh grade, we won this like small Christian school championship, and it really wasn't that exciting. We thought we won the national championship, but it wasn't that great. And we won the championship, and that's what he said to us. He said, there's something greater. There's something greater than pursuing that. A basketball in a hoop. Something greater. It hasn't sunk in yet? Exactly. So, be mature. It's in other words, it's time to grow up. It's time for the church to grow up. So press on, push yourself hard. It really is the greatest way to live. Going hard after Christ really will bring the most joy. We do this when we want to accomplish an earthly goal, right? If we want to accomplish an earthly goal, we push ourselves so hard. We'll go back to basketball. If a high school basketball player, he wants to accomplish a goal, he trains day after day after day. If there's a marathon runner wants to accomplish a goal, he trains day after day after day, running long, long, long time. We do dumb stuff to our bodies just for a little bit of happiness. And if we're not careful, we'll think that these can bring ultimate joy. Chapter 3, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in him. Find your joy there. Do we push ourselves in this way when it comes to spiritual things? Because that's where real joy is found. Last week, reading our Bibles to hear from God. Do we push ourselves in this? We push our bodies? Or is that snooze button just too big? Do we push ourselves to pursue Christ? We push ourselves to reach out to our neighbors. That's what Christ has called us to do. This is where joy is found, following Jesus. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's why Paul can rejoice. Remember where Paul is at in this letter? He's in prison. That's why Paul keeps coming back to those words in this letter. Joy, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Chapter 4, verse 4. A little preview for tonight. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. So press on. Push yourself hard. You're pushing towards that goal that has already been accomplished. That's a goal worth fighting for because you know you're going to make it. It's like running a race, knowing that you're going to win. It would put a smile on your face, wouldn't it? We rejoice. We get to run this race, push ourselves hard, knowing we're going to win. It's like a sport, playing a sport that you love, knowing you're going to make it. Professional level. It's like studying something you love, knowing you're going to get that dream job. Just knowing you know what's going to happen. So this is an interesting section here on human responsibility and divine sovereignty. Some people may be tempted to think, well, if God has it already accomplished, then why do I have to put in the work? If God's already accomplished it, why do I have to put in the work? It's a done deal. So I really don't have to do anything. And to that I say, this is the mindset of someone that does not understand the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a sinful mindset. And it doesn't make sense. Knowing Christ is worth it. It's worth every bit of work, discipline, death to self, suffering, serving, and maybe even death because we want to know Christ more and more. Yes, we already know Christ. We want to know him more and more. We push ourselves. We press on. We need to stop being lazy on this. We need to get up, read, pray, get on our knees because we want to know Jesus more and more. We want to get to know Christ. We pursue Christ. Live as he has called us. Even if it means you will suffer, because it does. Even if it means it will be hard. Even if it means taking risks. Even if it means risking a good rapport with your coworker or another student in class. When's the last time we pushed ourselves so hard in pursuit of Christ? When's the last time we fasted? Prayed. Because we want Jesus more and more. So it's time for us to grow up, isn't it? We need to have this mature mindset. Pursue Christ above all pursuits. We have a lot of stuff that we're facing now in this life, but there's more coming, so buckle up. Huge decisions will be made in your life. You're going to be hit from all sides. Will you pursue Christ? I pray so. Examining where you're at right now, what your life is focused on right now, will be a good indicator on what you will be focused on when you're faced with difficulty. When we will be faced with difficulties, what Christ has promised to followers of him. Are we ready? Where is our focus now? So press on. Number two, find someone to imitate. Be someone to imitate. Look at verse 17. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. The God is their belly and their glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. We're not left to ourselves on our own to figure this out. We're not. You know, you're part of a body. We're part of a brotherhood, a sisterhood, a family. We're part of a family. We need each other. I need you. We need to encourage each other in this. Do we notice people to imitate? Are we looking for people to imitate? Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Verse 17. Watch these kinds of people. Contrast that with verse 2 of chapter 3. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Look out for them. So look for people to imitate. Don't just be around people who are where you are. Be around people who are where you want to be. Had a friend once tell me that recently. Don't just be around people who are where you are. But be around people who are where you want to be. Be someone to imitate. Not that you're perfect. Paul says that. Not that I've already accomplished it. Not that you've already obtained this. Paul's disclaimer in the previous paragraph twice. But you're pressing on to know him more and more. Like the Apostle Paul, bring others along with you, encouraging them to do the same. Are we investing in the next generation of church leaders? I'm thankful for a church that is. Thankful for a church that sees the value of the next generation and reaching the next generation, the teens, the children of our church. So I got kids, and they're coming up in this, and I can't wait. I'm so thankful for a church that is pursuing them. There's always more ways to get involved in this and pursuing these kids, pursuing the teens. And I'm thankful for a church that has emphasis on the youth of our church. But Paul draws a contrast in this section, doesn't he? Look in this section. He says, imitate me, follow me in this, and know that there are others. There are many who walk as enemies of the cross. Their lives don't match up to the truth of the cross life. Their way is a path to destruction. Their God is their belly. What's that? Well, they're pleasure seekers. But they're only looking on this earth. I love Matt Papa has a song. And one line in the song says, on a planet of empty wells. Looking for joy here on a planet of empty wells. It's empty. Next thing it says, they glory in their shame. Wow. The things that they think are great, they are glorying in, they actually are bringing shame upon them. We see this all around us, don't we? People receiving accolades for shameful things. We see this all around us in society. But what about us? What about this church? What are we glorying in? What are we most proud of? What do we like to talk about or brag about? Does it line up with what is true? Does it line up with what God has called us to? If not, we're glorying in something that is actually shaming us. Do we glory in our pedigree or our accomplishments or our blamelessness or our zeal or enthusiasm? So, imitate the Apostle Paul here because he's pushing hard to know Christ more and more. It is a surpassing worth to know Christ. Are there people in your life that you are trying to imitate, that you are looking towards? I want to be like that because they're pursuing Christ. We lost a couple of those people this week, didn't we? But oh, what a legacy of godliness they've left. I want to be like Ray Knowles. I want to be like Dr. Bob Tom Nendahl. I want to live for something greater in this life. Give my life for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. I want to live for the next world. Verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. I want to be like that. I don't want to be like the ones who walk as enemies of the cross and live for this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. We live for another world, and that's where real joy is found. So, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Press on. Because you know the surpassing worth knowing Jesus Christ our Lord, press on. Find someone, be someone to imitate. To conclude, I echo Paul's sentiment here in verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers, this is to you, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. Stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I love this church, Colonial Baptist Church. You all are my joy. Please stand firm in this. Stand firm in the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for calling us to yourselves. Thank you for making me your own. Thank you that I don't have to rely on my own righteousness when I'm on my deathbed. I can rest in the righteousness of Christ. Lord, help us to pursue you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, will you help us to know day in and day out the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord and to pursue your Son with all of our strength. Lord, so often we confess that we pursue other things. We pursue fun things. We pursue things that we enjoy here, and we forget about our great God. Will you forgive us? Will you help us to not live for earthly things as if they're just empty wells, but to pursue you, to live for another world? Lord, may we help each other in this. We all need help. And Lord, thank you for putting us in a family, in a body here at Colonial. Thank you for attaching us to this body so that we can help each other out, knowing that you will work this in us as we pursue you. So Lord, if there's someone here that has not decided to follow hard after you with their entire life, will you help them to make that call this morning? Make that decision to place their faith in you so that they can receive your righteousness and not depend on their own works. Will you help them to deny themselves, to take up their cross and follow you? And Lord, that's the trajectory of many people in this room, in this church. But we also need to remind ourselves of this day by day. Will you help us to do this? Guide us, help us to do this, but help us to see this in others and pursue others with this as well. We need your help. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to sing the last verse of a very appropriate song, O Church, Arise. And the last verse says, So Spirit, come, put strength in everything.